Welcome to the Literary Escape Podcast, the only podcast that serves both readers and authors of historical Christian romance. We read, discuss, review, and rate books in this unique romance subgenre, and sprinkle in a few contemporary Christian suspense books. Authors, we bring you inside tips and tricks from those who have gone before you. Then we bring both readers and authors together for fun-filled live Q&As. Literary Escape is the one-stop shop for both readers and authors to connect, learn, and grow together. Let's dive into this adventurous episode. In the fine tradition established by her Southern grandmama, Aurora Daughtry has recently orchestrated the marriage of her eldest sister and facilitated her middle sister's engagement. Just when it seems there is nothing left to absorb her considerable talent for managing people, in walks Federal Deputy Marshal Zane Thagger. But Zane is not at Daughtry House for a vacation. He's tracking a killer and collecting two key witnesses to a federal judge's murder. Aurora takes it upon herself to disabuse the cynical lawman of his conviction that the world is out to get him. But just as she's on the verge of cracking Zane's defenses, the man he is after reminds him that no one he loves is safe ever. See, I need to read the back of the book more often.
You tend to just pick up and go, right?
Pick up and go. Yeah, I like to.
So I always read the back. I've tried a couple times not to read the back of the book, but inevitably it was like 50 pages in. I'm like, I gotta read the back of the book. Driving me nuts. All right. So at the beginning, Aurora took Joelle to go wedding dress shopping. Well, Joelle's a pretty, like, I don't need anything fancy, which is funny because she's marrying Skylar, who's kind of fancy pants.
Fancy, yeah.
That's what I like to call it. But Joelle makes this comment about the wedding dress she tried on. He says, "I'm not bearing my cleavage, even in the interest of high fashion." So what did you think about that comment?
It's funny.
I think it's funny. I was so kind of sad mom didn't get to come and talk with us today because, again, I would love to get her, perspective on this. Mainly because of the way she raised us.
Mm-hmm.
You did not show any cleavage. You were fully covered. Mm-hmm. But today I feel like
it's the style. Like,
everybody's just hanging out.
Or there's like half shirts. Like, I don't understand the half shirts. Sorry. I'm getting old.
I know. I'm like, oh my word, I'm turning into an old woman. But then I'm like, no, I'm a modest woman. And there is nothing wrong with modesty. Yeah,
I agree.
And modesty looks great.
And I mean, even the shirts, sometimes I have like loose shirts, like when you bend over, you know, like I always have like three layers on. I don't know if it's just our generation, but I like to have the undershirt and make sure that everything's tight and, you know.
Derek laughs at me. He goes, "You wear like five layers up top." Okay.
Course, it just makes man, me feel like, more
I
comfortable.
I have five layers on that I got to get through, right? But but I was like, but I'm fully covered.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I don't want them hanging out. I do remember my wedding dress was strapless.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, back when I had a pretty nice figure for that.
You still do whatever. You haven't aged at all.
But I remember taking it to get alterations done with a friend of ours. And when I put it on, the way the top fell, there was some cleavage, and she goes, "I can tuck that in so you don't have it." And my mom goes, "Yes, because we will have none of that spilling out until the wedding night."
I love your mom. Like,
oh, mom, I love you.
It's so funny. Her.
We will have none of that until the wedding night. And I mean, I didn't want them spilling out either, but she did. She altered it. It was really great. But I just feel like today people are just like, okay, let me ask you this. Were you ever allowed growing up to wear, because I remember when we were teenagers, spaghetti straps were really popular.
Uh-huh.
Were you ever allowed to go out in just a spaghetti strap?
No.
Me either.
I didn't want to, though, either. Like, just a spaghetti strap. Like,
yeah.
Maybe to bed, like, to sleep in. But, like, no, but I always had something over it. Mm-hmm. Like, another shirt over it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
but
good.
But, yeah, I know. That is the style now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they just...
Or like a sports bra type top, you know, that's like half and super tight.
I know.
I mean, even with leggings, I have another shirt that covers my bottom. And yes. I have my sweatshirt on.
Because
I
feel so much better.
Because then it just looks like tights. And I'm like, I don't want, you know.
I know. I was like, would you walk around in pantyhose?
Yeah, I know. But they're so comfy. Like when I come over here, I'm like, oh, I'm going to. But I have to have something longer to cover.
Yeah. I always am like, okay, I'm not being judgy. I don't want to be judgy. I just think modesty goes a long way. Ladies, it goes a long way. Mm-hmm. We know when we're hanging out what we're doing. What are we doing? We're looking for guys' eyes on us, right? I'm just going to be honest because we know guys can't keep their eyes off that, right? Mm-hmm. And that's not fair to them, right? I just think, I don't want it. I did one time. My mom never let me wear any type of tank top because I have sisters who are totally flat and I'm not a total flat. So my sisters who were totally flat up top, they got to wear tank top.
Yeah.
And I would be like, that's not fair. And she's like, they don't have anything to cover, you know, like it's okay. So I had a tank top that I was only allowed to wear at home. Mm-hmm. And I packed it when I went to one of my friends' houses. It was like when I was like in fifth grade. And I'm like, I am wearing it. Dang it. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, you also have to remember, I grew up in a house full of girls. I have no brothers. Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so obviously no, boys, you know, coming over or anything like that at all, which of course probably made dad really happy. So. But anyways, my friend had brothers. She had like three brothers. I put the tank top on the next day and was like, see, it's no big deal. You know what my mom was, and it was scooped. Okay. Oh. Mm. Then we get outside and we're playing, and then her brothers come out and they're like preteen to teenage. Oh. And we were preteen, and they were, two of them were already teenagers. And I realized their eyes have not left this area.
I'm like, less, huh?
Like, I'm like, you know, me being a stupid little kid, I'm like, what is their problem? What is their problem? And then I looked down, I was like, I looked at my friend and said, I'm like, I ended up changing and put a shirt on, but I was like, this is really awkward. And her brothers are very nice, very nice guys. I'd be always fun to hang out with and play with when we were over there. Always let us, you know, follow them around in the woods and stuff like that. But it just proved my mom's point. And I was like, okay. So from that point on, I'm like, cover them up. So I just had to laugh at Joelle because I feel like we just don't have that anymore. Mm-hmm. In today's society, it's just...
Yeah.
Let as much skin show as you can. And I'm always like.
Well, right now I'm dealing with like my teens. Well, now they're officially teenagers. Yeah. So, and there's just certain things like they have to wear like for track and, you know, those short and volleyball shorts and just trying to. Yes, it's OK on the court, but you can't wear that out in public. It's kind of, you know, where like when you're coming from practice or, you know, everybody doesn't know you were just at track or volleyball. Right. Like, so when you come off the bus and you're just like you need exposed. To come. Yeah. Like you look like you don't have pants on, put some pants on, you know, kind of things. And my middle one first had her first experience, like with just a random car, cat calling her, and it freaked her out. And like, and I'm like, I can't excuse what they did. They shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
However, the way you're dressed is they didn't know you came from practice.
Right.
All they see is a girl walking down the street that looks like she has no pants on.
Yeah.
So
you're kind of,
you have to watch, and like, we're trying to learn and, you know, it's just, she's so innocent still. Yeah. And it's so hard to, because
I get it.
They're coming into their own and it's hard because the world is so terrible. And like what the choices you make and what you wear is a representation of what you're going to invite, you know, the kind of attention you're going to get.
Yeah.
We're learning that, I guess, right now.
Yeah. It isn't fun. It is hard. Mom used to always say, the people you hang out with, the things you do, the things you say, and the things you wear tell a story. Mm-hmm. What story are you telling about yourself? Mm-hmm. You know, she would always say that. And you're right. Certain attire attracts certain people. Mm-hmm. And so what I always say is, if you're going to dress... This is going to sound really harsh, everybody. This is going to sound really harsh. But basically, if you're going to dress like you stand on a street corner at night, that's the people you're going to attract. Mm-hmm. And are those the people you want to attract?
I know. It's hard. hard.
That is harsh.
It's,
but it's reality, right?
I know. And it's just trying to, you know, they want to be in
style. I'm not saying your daughter was
I'm not saying that.
No, but, you know, when I saw her, I'm like, where's your pants? You know, but she's upset. And, you know, I'm trying to embrace her. And, you know,
because I'll be honest. Because
it's not her fault, you know, I mean, but it's, you know, you can't help their reaction. They shouldn't act like that, but.
But you also have to watch what you're wearing so you don't invite that kind of.
Yeah, that's kind of the lesson that.
Yeah, no, I get it.
It's a delicate.
I want comfort, but I also want to make sure you know in the future.
Yeah.
I didn't know you just came from that. They just, you know, it's hard.
It is hard. It is hard. No, but, I get it. Especially in today's society.
Especially when you can't buy modest stuff anymore and what they, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you see all their friends, you know, posting. And, you know, Instagrams.
How do you navigate? Because this is talking about a dress, right?
Yeah.
So how do you navigate your daughter's dresses for dances and stuff? Do you find that tricky? Because I feel like every time I look on social media, when girls are going out for a dance, I'm not kidding you, their dresses remind me of what would be on the streets of Las Vegas.
Some of them, yeah. I am very lucky, knock on wood, with my girls so far, that they'll scroll through stuff, but they're not really big posters unless, especially my oldest isn't, you know, I think just with their dad and stuff that they learned that they don't need that kind of attention.
Yeah. But
I don't know.
But I mean, dress wise,
my oldest has been fine. Like she,
Is it hard to find a dress that's not like that? That's what I feel like. There's not a lot of options for girls. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's just, because some of them, I mean, she tried on the one time for one of her things. I was like, no. Like, and I was like, are you comfortable? Like, is this truly comfortable? And she's like, no. I'm like, you're going to be like tugging and pulling.
If you have to be tugging on both ends. That is not fun.
Yeah. I mean, I was just like, and I think but you have to let them figure it out, I guess.
I know. You do have to let them navigate to some point. I do remember one of my sisters got one dress that was, and now they were a lot more modest back then than they are now.
Oh, I know. But now they're just like
it was one of those where it's like the skirt and then a top. And so a little bit of her belly showed and her back was open. And he was like, you can march yourself right back up them stairs. You're not leaving this house in that outfit. And she's like, Dad, you know. And he's like, shouldn't have gone shopping without your mother. But that's what we need. We need our dads to step up and say, not on my watch. Right? We need them to do that for them. Mm-hmm. All right. So I love this piece of advice that's in the book. It says, find a man who serves Christ first. Then his love for you will fall rightly.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like that?
I love that. Yeah.
I love that. I say that all the time. Find a man who has a heart for God. He'll be just fine.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be just fine. Again, this is what I always say. Men of God make the best husbands and women of God make the best wives. It just doesn't get any better than that. So, and I'll say I'm like living proof of that.
I would say that, yes.
All right. And then Skylar, you know, he's still in there being hamming things up every now and then. But Levi, you know, they always make fun of him because he's a Yankee from Illinois, I think, where he's from. And he said, y'all. He goes, Yankee boy said, y'all. Did you laugh?
I did laugh at that part.
Like, oh, my word.
So Skylar.
It was good banter between
Very good. Because my aunt's from Texas, and when we go down there, she'd say y'all all the time. Uh-huh. And so, like, when one of us would say it, she's,
So, well, I don't know why it slips out on me every now and then, but I'll say y'all. So, like, we were doing a big field day at the end of the year, and one of them is the Academic Bowl, which I run the Academic Bowl part of it. And the kids they're sitting on the gym floor and the screen's up there and they have to like race to get your answer, you know, all that good stuff. But every time they end up like, you know how kids do, like they're creeping up, and pretty soon I'm about ready to step on them because they're so close. They're like in my zone of walking. And I was like, y'all need to scoot back again. This, you know, line on the court, you need to be behind. And one of the teachers goes, y'all? I was like, it just comes out. I'm not even from the South.
No.
I mean, no one in my family. My sister
could have been one of the books we're reading.
My sister lives in, I have a sister who lives in, is she in South Carolina now? I think it's South Carolina now. She's been in the Carolinas quite a bit. I'm pretty sure it's South Carolina. Sorry, Laura, if you're listening.
We love you, Laura. Can you fly
and
us down?
She has the accent and she says y'all all the time. Mm-hmm. But Derek will tell you, I just have to hear it on TV and I'll start picking up the accent. Like if we watch Harry Potter, all of a sudden I've got a British accent. If I talk to my cousin in Wisconsin, all of a sudden I've got the northern.
We were British for like a year in school, remember?
Oh yes.
And my Nat was doing that with her friend last night. I was like, they were southern when they were speaking, and I was hilarious, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this reminds me so much of when we were younger, when we'd have her. I mean, we really were British for like a full year.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Good tips.
It is funny, but I just loved how he's like, Yankee boy said y'all.
Y'all come back here.
I love this too. So this is going to tie into what we talked about earlier. So grandma said she's talking to Aurora, which by the way, what she did was scandalous then, but not now. So she followed Zane into the church. Zane was at the altar praying and she knelt down and she prayed with him. And then when they finished praying, they just kind of sat back and he was talking about, you know, because he has his eye patch and he doesn't want to go into the details of how he lost his eye. But so she said, well, close your eyes. So he closes his eyes and she gets her stocking and shoe off and has just her foot showing, mm-hmm, barefoot. To show that she has a sixth toe. Six toes.
Yeah.
Right? So she just wants him to be like, it's okay. Like, even I have an abnormal, you know, like, mm-hmm, not normal. And someone saw. You don't know this right away, but someone saw. But she ends up, that comes out later in the book.
Mm, okay.
And they call her a very unkind word for it. And, but when she goes back to her boarding house, she tells her grandma, because her grandma's like, and where have you two been? And he's like, I'm going to go upstairs and talk to the prisoners, you know, like take care of them. And so she told him. And so her grandma said, I would like to point out that a young lady is given but one reputation. And once ruined, there is no getting it back.
Mm.
And of course, me, I'm like, she showed him her bare foot. Like, he even closed his eyes so he didn't even see her taking the stocking off or anything, mm-hmm, right? But you know, I know back then it was a lot more, mm-hmm, you don't show any skin type stuff. I do remember it's like, oh, her ankle's showing, woo, ooh la la, you know.
So both of ours are showing.
But what did you think about that? I thought that you have one reputation and once ruined, there's no getting it back.
I think it goes along with what we were talking about, mm-hmm, with clothes and
what we say, what we do, what we wear.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree to a point. Yeah. I think you can earn a good reputation back, but because you ruined it the first time, there are always going to be people who will hold it against you, mm-hmm, who know of your past sins.
I agree.
But moving forward, you can rebuild that reputation.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, unfortunately, because we're human, people who knew you before are always going to be like, oh yeah, well, I remember when she
this or that.
Yeah.
Okay, one day.
I know.
You know, you saw me in a week. I understand.
Oh, don't get me started on bikini stuff. I'm always like, this is what cracks me up. Women freak out if a man sees them in their underwear. But then they go out in a bikini.
Mm-hmm.
You might as well be out there in your underwear. I mean, honestly, your underwear probably cover more than that bikini does. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I'm just like, these are just little thoughts that I get, that I think,
Yeah.
Derek's like, it's kind of the same thing about when people are out there at the beach, starts raining and they start screaming and running for cover. And he's like,
you're already wet. I know. I love it.
Yeah, you're right, Derek. You're right.
Just get the water. You're fine.
I'm like, I never thought of that because I was one of those screaming people. It's raining. And he's like, yeah, you're already wet. Does it really matter?
That's so funny. Well, maybe you were just sunbathing. You weren't wet. So yeah, maybe. Well,
I told you didn't want to get wet.
Have you seen my white? I'm like, well, why do you white?
I tell you, this skin does not. You tan. You look great in the summer.
Right now, I'm like pale.
I'll be out there and I'll be like, oh, yes. Yes. And I'll be beet red for like 3 days and I'll hurt like
that's
a son of a gun.
My husband does.
And then I go white and I'm like, why did I put myself through that torture? Like,
yeah.
Seriously?
That's what
I might get a little tan. And I'm talking like.
This is the barest hint of a tan.
Derek, because he used to work construction, he tans up real nice.
Yeah.
The man is so dark compared to me in the summer that I'm always like, just get away from me. I look so white. Because he'll be like, woo, woman, your legs are blinding me. I'm like, shut up.
It's, I think Haas got burnt there last weekend because it was like Easter weekend and like, it was nice.
Really?
Yeah, his little cheeks and his.
Oh my!
Because it was sunny, like there, and he slid. It's burnt. Like the same way though. It's funny.
You think it's funny because you tan. The rest of us that don't tan are like, I hate you right now.
I'm sorry.
No,
I don't remember always being like that. I think it's just something as I've gotten older.
Yeah. Well, I keep waiting for my skin to decide it wasn't.
I don't know.
Okay, you didn't get to read this yet, but Thomas Anne does reveal her full story.
Okay, I can't wait.
Of how she, you know, ends up living with them and just kind of things that happen. But it's because of this event that happened that I just told you about between Joelle and Zane that she tells Joelle because she just wants her to be extra cautious about.
Joelle or Aurora?
Oh, I'm sorry. Aurora. Sorry. Okay. I don't know why I was saying Joelle.
I was like, Aurora.
You're right.
Zane.
There is a plot twist coming in here. Sorry, I had the wrong name. Wrong sister.
You're okay.
What did you think about Zane, though?
Overall? Like, what I know about him so far, he's very dutiful to his job.
Mm-hmm.
He's very serious. But I see where he's starting to, like, really like Aurora, but based on the back of the book, he doesn't want to have her get hurt.
He doesn't. And so that's why he's like, I may want like her, but I'm going to keep
your arm's length. Yeah.
Yeah. She will break that wall.
Yeah.
Don't we always?
I had a feeling.
Yeah. And how did you think, what did you think about Aurora and how she handled Bedelia and Rose that were in the.
Oh, she put him in jail? Like the one in jail to get her to conform to what she wanted to do.
She did that. And Zane was much better about handling her. But then, of course, Bedelia was like, ooh, Zane.
Yeah.
You know, which Aurora did not like.
No.
But I thought she did a great job of like, let's give you legit skills.
Yeah.
So you can live a happy life.
Yeah. I like that.
Now, my last two questions you probably aren't going to be able to do because you haven't gotten to the end yet. But it's okay. I will just say this. Grandmama is going to surprise you big time at the end.
Okay.
Big time. And so after you read it, I would love to know your thoughts. And when you finish it, I'd like to know how your thoughts on how the series and the mystery ended. Because, I mean, it ends, but it doesn't end how I was expecting it to end. I don't know. I was expecting a different type of justice to be served, I guess.
Okay.
So, but it's still good. But I would love to know your thoughts. All right. So of the part of the book that you've read, how would you rate the following elements of A Reckless Love? So how would you rate the romance level?
So far, Milka.
Yeah, I'd agree. It does.
Get more latte?
It borders latte, but not really.
Okay.
It's just, it takes you up to and then picks back up after.
Okay.
So, how about suspense?
Not really so far.
I would probably go Mocha. The end of the book has a lot of suspense. There's a lot of tension. There's a lot of scary moments, I guess you could say, where you're like, I hear noises and
You know, when you watch, I don't watch horror movies, but we know how we all make fun of them. Like, oh, I heard a noise. Let me go towards it. That kind of stuff yeah. plays out towards the end.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Action.
There's not been a lot so far.
There is.
I mean, the train ride, but.
Yeah. Like, there is a lot of action towards the end again, because you're wrapping up this like mystery that's been going on for a long time. But I will say there's a lot of contained tension. Don't you feel like
mm-hmm.
where like everything's kind of talks ready. Them back down, then the tension rises, and then we're talking back down. There's a lot of that. So I guess that would be more drama, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, what would you say for drama? I'd probably go.
There's so far there's Mocha, just because there was the militia and all the yeah. townspeople. And then I feel like just the drama between Grandmama and the mm-hmm. sister then.
Yeah, I would agree. What about the mystery level?
Well, I'm still waiting for the whole thing to wrap up. So I guess that's still there in the back of my mind, the Mocha.
I would say Mocha. Yeah. yeah. How about the inspiration level?
So far, there's not been a lot so far. Other than in the church and they're praying. And
mm-hmm. I think there's more later on because he has to let go of a lot of his and just let God heal him of those past hurts. But I think, and I don't know if you want to label it as inspiration, there's a lot of truth nuggets in there. And some of them we talked about already that are just words of wisdom to live by. So what is your overall Lasso rating of A Reckless Love by Beth White based on what you've read so far?
I mean, I love this story.
Yeah.
So
I'd go three.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you're going to really like the ending. You've got to finish it. But you have to let me know
okay.
what you think.
I'm hoping to finish this afternoon if the kids let me. So.
Yeah. Awesome. So that was the end of that series. And then for our listeners, our interview with Beth White will come out next week. And I think you're really going to love what she has to talk about.
Yes.
It is very interesting. It was very interesting to me to hear the Southern perspective mm-hmm. when it of the Civil War and things that happened during that time, because it is so different from us
mm-hmm.
that we've always grown up on the north side, in the Yankee territory.
Yeah.
You know, so I think our listeners will really enjoy hearing.
She's super nice too.
Oh yes.
I loved it.
Lovely woman. I love all the authors that are willing to come talk to us mm-hmm. have always been so sweet and just a joy to talk to. Like Lynn's interview that came out a few weeks ago. She was just so bubbly and everyone has their own unique personality mm-hmm. that they bring to their writing and to the interview. So yeah, everyone's going to love hearing from Beth as well. And what's coming out next for her sounds exciting. Yes. So thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If so, please consider signing up for our free newsletter. Each week, you'll receive news about our events for both readers and authors, plus updates on my books. You can sign up at www.literaryscape.com/newsletter. Until next time, happy and blessed reading and writing.